pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
Stepping out of the shadows, our gamer goth, Ms. Patricia Heltman.
I made it.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
May the force be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Oh, how's everybody's week of bullshit been?
it was full of bullshit.
Yep.
Like that describes it perfectly.
It wasn't great. We finished migration, but not without, like, everything possibly going wrong because someone is an idiot. And I say that affectionately.
You're making the Twitch start when you talk about migration.
Yeah.
Migrating from standard HTML to Drupal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
You just say it out loud, it feels like somebody's flicking me in the scrow, you know? Boink, 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 boink.
It just makes you nauseous to hear those words. Yep. You don't even have to know what they mean to freaking hear that.
It's like party is upset that you're getting flicked in the nuts, and the other party is like, at least somebody's paying attention to my nuts.
Aww.
Nobody else does. We went up to Trefoil Ranch, which is a Girl Scout camp. It's my daughter's, she'll turn 18 in October. So it was our last chance to send her off to camp. And we decided to go with her. So we went with her up to camp and did a family camp for 3 days, which was a lot of fun. God damn, those Girl Scouts have great facilities. I mean, in comparison to Boy Scout camps. Yeah. It's
well,
like,
you know, it's all about the lesbians.
Yeah,
all
I know.
The cookie money. Are you kidding me?
No, they take the cookie money. They take the cookie money to the Home Depot, and then they take the Home Depot stuff up to the camp and build nice things.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Where Boy Scouts are still just burying porn in the woods.
Yeah, they tell us, okay, the bathrooms are down the trail right over here. And we're like, you know, for men. And we're like, okay. So it's a bit of a walk.
Here's your hole in your branch.
Yeah. And I get down to the bathrooms expecting, you know, like a vault toilet or something. Oh, no. Flushing toilets, running water, all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is not a scout camp. This is not that at all. It was crazy just how nice it was there. And, yeah, we had a great time. And it was only like a day that we did things because you get there Wednesday night, have some dinner, go get in your tent, you know, hang out, and then you're done. And then Tuesday all day was just stuff. And then Wednesday you have breakfast and go home. So yeah. But it was still just gorgeous up
there. How old is your daughter?
She'll be 18 in October.
And you get to go to this because she's still a Girl Scout?
Yep.
Damn, that's
still
cool.
Still registered as a Girl
I
Scout.
I want to go.
it was fun. I enjoyed it. And then I come home and, you know, Thursday I go back to work and yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Did everything
you,
fall
Thursday.
Apart without you there?
Yeah, apparently. Thursday was okay but busy, but I got told Thursday afternoon, don't take on any special projects. Don't take on any of them without approving them through us first. You don't take on any, because in the past they've just thrown me special projects and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing for a week. And they said, don't take on any without approving to us first. And they don't say anything. They don't give us a reason. They just say that. I'm like, okay, this is getting weird. And then Friday, our boss comes on. She says, well, I just wanted to quell any rumors. or deal with any rumblings, we are having to lay people off.
Oh.
And I felt my scrotum, you know, shrink up into my pelvic cavity at that with those words.
Right.
She said, so these two people who are on my team are going to be being laid off. And it's their last day. One's last day was on Friday. The other's is next Friday. And I'm like, the fuck? And then she said, we are looking at the possibility of reduced hours, to which my scrotum just decided we're just going to spend the day up here. And that sent my heart into spasms, you know. And right. I'm having a legitimate panic attack. We had a call with our contract agency, because it's all weird the way we're set up. So there's like five of us on what with one contract agency, and everybody else is with this other contract agency, who then pays our contract agency to pay us. And then the main one bills the government for our services. So we get on with our contract agency. She's like, well, the good news is there won't be any, you won't have to reduce your hours in any way. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And then we talked about some improvements they could make, and then that was it. And my anxiety attack lessened, but it took the full day for, you know, the nausea to end from all that bullshit. So yeah, that's the bullshit of the week. I'm sure everyone had bullshit too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mine was just like routine bullshit. So yeah.
That's what I was counting on.
My routine bullshit. So
yeah, I'm like, come back from a short vacation and. Guess what? You get to work harder now.
Right.
I'm like, great. They're like, yeah, we're only going to handle day-to-day stuff, the daily stuff, the daily requests. We're not going to handle any special things without getting permission, without going through us first, because we have to send it up through the higher ups and make them prioritize it for us, because they've cut our money so much that we can't afford to do it.
Wow.
I'm like, actually, I kind of like that. You know, it's like make them realize, oh, we fucked up. We need to give them money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they could decide, well, we fucked up with this company. Let's get rid of them. Get somebody else in. Yeah.
True.
Which, honestly, I'd probably still keep my job. It's such a weird setup. I just roll over to another contract company. Ugh. Almost 10 years on contract. It's not fun.
No, not at all. That's terrible.
Nope. Yep. So when the young developers at your work talk about how great it would be to be on contract, because then you get paid by the hour, Pat, it ain't that great.
My coworker from California used to do a bunch of contract work in California, and I don't dislike him, but his IT knowledge, you can tell he doesn't have, and he's just been phoning it in for the last couple of years. So he walks around with this like attitude that he could make more money and he could do better, and he does mm-hmm. that shit. And he's like, yeah, you just do contract work. And I'm like, well, then you don't get health insurance. And he's like, yeah, you do. Blah, blah, blah. And he tells me this
no,
whole
you
shit.
Don't.
And I'm just like,
no,
I'm like, stop complaining. Go back to fucking California. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry you don't make enough here to pay for the lifestyle that you had in California, but like you came here, fuck off.
Guarantee you pay less for your lifestyle than you paid for it
right.
in California,
and you're not even that good at this job. Like the fact that you still have it amazes me.
If he says, "Yeah, you get insurance," it's like, well, yeah, but they're not obligated to contribute to the insurance,
mm-hmm.
so you pay the full premium.
Yep.
I was at one time looking at $1,400 a month. A month in premiums to cover myself and my family, and that was with a $500 deductible, and they were strict on the deductible. Like, some will cover stuff even though you've got the deductible. These guys, they wouldn't cover shit until your deductible was met
mm-hmm.
with the $5,000 deductible.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is insane. So yeah, they're you don't get insurance on. Yeah, don't. The only time I got insurance was on my first contract, because they had Aetna, which is insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is just pretending. Aetna actually is health insurance. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We got boring. Let's wrap it.
We got boring. This has been work talk. Let's wrap that up and go to something even more depressing, the news.
exciting. Zoom.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
DJ Casper, the musical mind behind the Cha-Cha Slide. Sing it. Anybody. Anybody sing it. I dare you.
Not going to happen.
Hang on.
Not
gonna,
for me.
I don't know if I'm the sound will go through. I'm going to play it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't even know it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, we got a little clapping going on. A bunch of people clapping. Sliding. Oh, goody. It's the 80s, so it's got to dial it. Let's skip ahead.
Slide to the right. Crisscross. Crisscross. Cha-cha real smooth.
Everybody knows it because it's just like...
Let's go to work.
Crisscross.
To the left.
I know that.
Take it back now, y'all.
Okay, so he's dead. Johnny Hardwick has passed away. He was the voice of Dale Gribble on King of the Hill. His character, the distinctive Texas drawl, had been with the Emmy Award-winning series since 1997 through its final episode on Fox in 2010.
Is but earlier, Dale the one that would say, I told you so? Or
he was the conspiracy theorist whose wife was...
Pocket sand.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, earlier this year, Hulu announced that Hardwick would return for the series streaming revival.
Oh.
And has not completed his work at the time of his death. No foul play is suspected, but the cause of death is still under investigation. Mm-hmm. William Friedkin. I've only seen it written, I realize right now. Oscar-winning director of The Exorcist and The French Connection has passed away at the age of 87, a far, far more appropriate age.
Yeah, very appropriate there. Yes.
Yep. He won Best Director Oscar for The French Connection. Man. I miss having an office so bad. Anyway, cemented his legacy early on with The French Connection. That was based on a true story. And dealt with the efforts of maverick New York City detective James Popeye Doyle to track down Frenchman Alain Charnier, mastermind of a drug pipeline funneling heroin into the United States, back when we used to pretend that the French would do that.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Even when the movie came out, I thought that was a weird title. I'm like, What criminals are in France?
Yeah, well, they're probably shipping in Vietnamese heroin through France because France was a colonizer of the Vietnamese peninsula for quite a number of years.
Quite true. Yeah. Quite true.
Yep.
It's just funny because that's not where we get heroin anymore.
No.
We get it from our allies in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
You follow that up with The Exorcist. The Sorcerer. He was approached to produce Star Wars. Also turned down MASH.
Aww.
Because he said he couldn't see the potential in either film.
Well, when it came to MASH, it really took, what's his name? His style of directing to bring that to life.
Yeah.
In the way that it would have worked. Because anything else, it would have been too straightforward. And you needed that where he could have a conversation going off in the background that you almost want to listen to because it sounds really funny. But meanwhile, everything's going on in the foreground that you got to pay attention to. So, yeah.
It is. But he was, look, I don't know what you're barking at, dummy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the words, I want to end you, are pretty heavy on my. I'm just frustrated. And they are part of it. So I'm pulling up his filmography. Mm-hmm. Tales from the Crypt. Mm-hmm. Turned down Star Wars. Did some Tales from the Crypt. Let's see what else. 12 Angry Men. Rules of Engagement. The Hunted. Painter's Voice. Killer Joe. Killer Rampage. Joe. Different Rampage. Barbara Streisand Somewhere. Movie. Yeah, but no, he was a very busy boy, and he is no longer. So enjoy your nap, buddy. Robbie Robertson, lead guitarist and songwriter of the band, dies at 80. Wrote such classics as The Weight and Up on Cripple Creek. She Sends Me. This one makes me sad.
Yeah.
You know, the band, every time they pop on, I sing along. Doesn't matter what the song is. I know it. Can I name it off the top of my head? No. No, right. But it is such a part of the cultural zeitgeist that they just live there. And I remember, now Braxton, whom I don't know if you guys know or not, has an encyclopedic knowledge of a lot of obscure tunes from the 50s on. I mean, he's an old soul, and the depth of his musical knowledge is vast. Like a Marianas Trench of knowing shit.
Nice.
From other people's decades. even him, I'm like, oh yeah, Robbie Robertson from the band died. He's like, who's that? And I was like, what the fuck? And then you play it, and he sings along and knows every word. It's like, see, this is the sort of, it's the American musical tapestry kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where you just come up with a soundtrack in the background, and you know it. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike when I told the Google speaker at work to play Thompson Twins and I knew every word, it's because I listened to every word thousands of times throughout my early teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And Braxton thinks it's funny when I try and sing higher than my register will let me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just do anything to make that lad smile.
Fair.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob Dylan popped up and basically was like, I'm sad.
Mm.
But nobody could understand what he said. moving away from dead folk, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin is getting a game. Not only is it getting a game... The first trailer dropped with absolutely zero gameplay. It's just a really cool cartoon that they probably should have used for the fucking comic book, even though the comic book sold just fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is the best advertisement for the comic book that I have seen, and it's for the game, and the game's not going to be out until at least, I believe, end of next year. However, for those of you who don't know, it's like a dystopian future where only one Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and I won't tell you who, survives. And decides that it's time for him to take care of, I believe it's the Foot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Foot Clan, yeah.
Foot Clan, once and for all. It's a beautiful story. I don't even, as I have told people at the store, when I'm talking about Last Ronin, I don't like turtles. I'm not a turtles guy. Never have been. Love, you know, Robert Eastman.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy. Holy shit, I love him. Or Kevin.
Kevin Eastman.
What'd I say?
Raw.
Oh, whoops. That's our buddy out Magna almost.
Yeah, that's Ultimate Bob, kind of.
Yep.
Only he's an Easton instead of an East man. Yes.
I'm gonna let that go with no punchlines. Yeah. So anyway, Kevin Eastman came out for Wasatch Comic Con its first year, and he, his wife, his family, fucking delightful. Just we went out. We did an offsite event where we did a special VIP dinner with the Eastman clan and some of the other writers and other creators. And when we got into the big room where the VIPs were, all of the writers and artists all sat at a table over in a corner and talked about comic books the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The VIPs kind of went to whatever tables we could find, and we all just kind of sat down around. Opposite sides of the room, Mr. and Mrs. Eastman worked the tables, did 20 minutes at every table, worked all the way around the table, and then did it again, and then did it again, and spent more than an hour just spending time, almost 2 hours spending time with each and every table and everybody at that table. Everybody just felt like a million bucks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know.
On the other hand, I look at the decision made by the other creators, and I'm like, yeah, if I was at a table with Doug and what's his name, the other artist that was there, I don't think I would have moved from that table at that point. I'd be like, let's talk about comics.
Yeah, and I'll say this with all the love in my heart, that's shitty networking.
It is. It's terrible networking. Yeah. It is. And what Eastman did was showed appreciation to the fans, and they should have also all gotten up and done it at some point.
Or at the very least done some introductions and pitching of their own stuff, because when the Turtles guy walks in, we all know he's the fucking Turtles guy.
Yep.
You know? There was one creator at the table in specific that I remember who had just put out a book And I was really sad that he wouldn't engage on it because he was just kind of too busy bullshitting at the table. Uh-huh. And the people at my table really, really wanted to talk to him about it. I will not call him out by name because I love him like a little brother. You know, but I mean, that was just it. Is it's like Eastman learned a lesson somewhere in his career and stuck to it, and it was fucking awesome. When Last Ronin the Game comes out, I will be playing the fuck out of it. I have no doubt. And if it sucks, I will burn this place to the ground.
There's no way.
Do not fuck it up. If it's not Arkham City with turtle shells.
Yep.
Yep. I'm gonna have a
Arkham City with a Ninja Turtle. That's all you need. Yep.
Anyway, gang, that's it for the news.
Okay, we're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So, what have you guys been watching on the TVs and movies this last couple of weeks? Jess?
I forgot to put it on my email, but I got to go see Oppenheimer since we recorded last. And oh my God, it was so good.
Weren't the parts with Ken just amazing?
Hey, I still maintain Barbie. The people that I'm hearing from that don't want to see the Barbie movie that then go and see it are blown away by it. So
I'm just saying, it's what does he do? Does he introduce himself as Ken Makes Boom?
No.
What would Oppenheimer's Ken job be? Mass murder?
Mass murder. Oh. No, because the Kens don't have jobs. The Kens do beach.
They do beach.
So this would be beach. A Ken Do Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. Ken Do Boom.
Yeah. Ken Do Boom.
Yeah. But no, that was really good. And then for shits and giggles, we watched Bullet Train this last week, which I love. That's a great movie.
That is a fun movie.
And then continued the theme of Sandra Bullock with Brad Pitt and a cute, what's his bucket?
Harry Potter.
No, not Harry that movie. Potter. Magic Mike. The other Magic Mike. But yes, we Channing watched Tatum. That movie. We watched Lyst. We watched Lost City.
And Harry Potter's in that movie.
I know, but okay. He was not in Bullet Train.
No.
And Magic Mike was. Yep. Channing Tatum. That's his name.
Channing Tatum.
Tatum. Yep.
Tatum. So yeah, we watched that. Threw on an episode of American Gods.
I found myself unknowingly delighted by Lost City.
Oh, it was so good.
I didn't expect what I got from it. I expected it to be a lot worse. Yeah. And I watched it and I was like, I really enjoyed this movie. What the fuck happened here? How did that happen?
It did have moments it was very confused about what kind of movie it wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a hard time finding its voice, but it was I agree. I was impressed by it when I didn't expect to be. So there you go. That's what I watched, really. What about you guys?
Yeah, Pat?
So I did like a mini celebration of life for my best friend who passed away last week. We used to watch the Underworld movies together and the Resident Evil movies together, the Mila Jovovich stuff. So I watched those, and it was delightful, and it made me very happy.
Good.
So.
That's happy on several levels.
I know, because, yes. you know, hot chicks and.
Yep.
I was going to say, you get Kate Beckinsale in tight leather.
Mm-hmm.
And Mila Jovovich in what can only charitably be called a dress.
Yes.
It's like two linen napkins with shoulder straps is what that dress was.
Yep.
And that is not a complaint. That is a yes.
Yep.
Yep.
How about you, sir?
Well, I watched, let's see, Heart of Stone, which is the Gal Gadot new movie on...
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that.
The reason that I watched it, as I have said many times, Gal Gadot is a very talented and attractive lady. She's just, you know, she's on the skinny side. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so she doesn't make the hall pass, is what I'm saying. But I've, hey, honey, if Gal Gadot hit on me, could I just add her as an honorary member of my hall pass?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is this good?
I'd be disappointed in you.
I would too. I'd be very disappointed. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I would be very disappointed.
So yeah, she gets an honorable mention. Anyway, it's written by Greg Rucka.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Not based on a comic book.
Oh.
That's why I need to see it. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
One damn thing I got to sit down and watch.
It is, it's good. It's good. It's a Netflix action film, you know. You can watch them, and it's you're like, that was entertaining. Ryan Reynolds did one, The Adam Project, that I watched, and I was like, oh, how Ryan Reynolds-y this is.
Yes.
And then I watched some football-related sporting things. Of course, you know, I'm putting myself to sleep with Ted Lasso now instead of watching it constantly, which is, I believe, mentally healthier.
Much healthier.
Maybe, yeah.
Due to the imminent return of season 2 of Welcome to Wrexham next month, I started a rewatch of that one and just fucking love it.
I'm looking forward to that.
I watched, well, the most exciting gut punch as the USA Women's World Cup team just barely missed moving on to the semifinals. God, that was an exciting, sad game.
Blew my bracket.
Yep. Super, super exciting.
Blew out my bracket because that was I had them going all the way. I'm like, make a hat trick, ladies. I want the hat trick.
Yeah.
Three wins in a row.
But there was a there was a quote from one of the players on a different team. It was like, when I heard they got blown out, I was actually pretty happy about it because all they've been talking about since they got here was how they're going to do in the final.
Yeah.
And when you look at the roster on those early games, they had Vietnam should have been a blowout, should have been 5-6-0, you know, instead it was 3. And then, you know, and then they move on and they're just not doing well. But their first string is still fucking benched because they're all waiting for the goddamn, you know, quarterfinals. And, you know, they put Rapinoe out too late and then she missed her penalty and the whole thing just fucking collapsed on them. But in the meantime, I've been watching with a lot of interest England. I'm enjoying them and their game against Nigeria. I got to admit, man, I swung. I was like, fucking A, Nigeria, go, go, go. And then the British lady, like, waffle stomped one of the Nigerian ladies and got a red card. So England had to play that whole fucking match with 10 instead of 11. And they managed 0-0. They went to their 2:15 minutes after, and then they went into penalty shots after that. And it was just white knuckling. You know, it was great. And then
that's the World Cup you want to watch.
And then I watched Australia yesterday, and those ladies just. I mean, this is it's exciting to watch this shit. You know, it's almost as much fun as watching sci-fi. It's me talking sports. So I'm looking forward. I want to see England and Australia in the final. I think that will be the coolest game. But at this point, I'm literally rooting for everybody. Everybody scores a goal. I don't give a fuck what team you're on. I'm like, yeah, good job. And a goalie blocks it. And I'm like, way to go, pal. Because I don't, I'm not deep enough into the lore to really have a favorite team once my country is gone. Mm-hmm. Right. So instead, I'm just having a great time. And then I don't know. Do you want to save this until the very end or what? Because
Let's save it to the end. Let's save it to the end because that's a big one.
Yeah, Strange New Worlds was something. So go ahead.
I mean, two weeks in a row. Yeah, something.
We're definitely talking the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but when it comes to the football, the ladies' football, I've been watching World Cup for years now.
Yep.
And so, the last 2 years of the women's team, they became my team. Like, I want to know. I don't watch their other games outside of World Cup, but when Rapinoe and all those people are together, I'm like, all those women are together. I'm like, that's my team. And so I'm very disappointed my team got taken out because it's not even that it's my home country's team. They're my fucking team. Yeah. I was like, damn. And I agree. I think the coach made a mistake because he was not putting them out early enough and it needed to happen. Yeah. Let's see. This week, watch The Flash. Finally.
Is it the finale?
No, this is The Flash, the movie.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I finally saw the movie, The Flash. Wow. What a piece of trash that was. Holy shit. I called that one. I am so glad I got to see it via some swashbuckling friend because, oh my God, I'm glad I didn't pay money for that piece of shit.
For what it's worth, I'll give it this. This is what I'll give it, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, it is trash, but it is trash in an upper-class neighborhood, and they threw away some pretty cool shit.
Yeah.
They threw away shit they didn't need to throw away, but yeah, they did. They threw away some pretty cool shit.
Yep.
You start out with the baby rescue scene that had the worst fucking CGI I have seen in a long time. And I was like, oh my God, it's only going to go downhill from here. And I know Batman's coming. I know I'm getting Michael Keaton back, and that's going to be fun. And everything they did with Michael Keaton, I fucking loved it. For a movie called The Flash, I needed more Michael Keaton Batman. That was it. That was all there was to it.
I needed more Supergirl. She was great.
And Supergirl. Supergirl was amazing. And I was so disappointed in what they did with her. But yeah, in the end, I was like, God damn it. The effect to go back in time was... What the fuck was that? I was like, this is so not, no, this is not right. Fuck this. No, I hate this. Stop doing that.
But little parts of it were so cool.
You know, right at the beginning he gets, and here's the thing about The Flash. Here's my biggest note on The Flash. It felt like the sequel to a first movie we never got.
Oh.
It really felt like a sequel.
It did feel like you should have had more information.
Yeah.
If I hadn't watched any DC movies, and I just randomly watched The Flash, like I'd be like, what? Yeah. Who's okay?
At the same time, when he's being haunted by his past and mooning over his dad in Iron Heights, I'm like, I just went through 8 years of that with a television show. I don't think I need this again. You know, you could have gone a different route, I think, because you saved the wrong parts.
Yeah. You replayed the wrong parts.
Yeah, you saved the wrong stuff. Basically, you threw out all the good stuff and saved the wrong stuff. And I was like, yeah, I just... even the last 90 seconds that Jeff loved, I was like, yeah, that's great. And it still didn't win it for me.
If I had seen it in a trailer, I wouldn't have needed to see the movie. Let's be honest.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'd seen that in a trailer, I'd been like, that's funny. And in the end, because we've made so many jokes about that over the years. But yeah, I was like, yeah, that was funny. And it's not worth it, honestly. See it. Watch it streaming if you dare. If you're paying for HBO Max already, Cinemax, whatever the fuck it's called already, watch it when it comes on there. If not, don't subscribe to HBO just to watch it. It's not worth it. It's really not. And I'm actually disappointed in James Gunn saying, this amazing movie. I'm like, Shazam! Fury of the Gods was a better movie.
Oh, so much better.
Straight up, better movie. Black Adam was a better movie than The Flash.
It's like the shit I took on Tuesday was better than the shit I took on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh my God. Such a terrible movie. Anyway, they spent a lot of money on something that really just didn't work at all. Let's see. We had Reservation Dogs has come back. We're on episode 4, I think. This last episode, we get to see the past with the deer lady, who's a character in this, a mythological character who, if you are a bad man who hurts women, she will come to you and kill you. You'll be gored by these antler daggers she carries with her. And she has deer hooves. That's how you recognize her. Anyway, we get to see her past, which involved the Native American boarding schools.
Oh.
And how abusive and violent they were to these children. And it was really good. I'm like, thank you for not pulling punches on that one. It was, watching it was almost as powerful as that first episode of the Watchmen series, where we learned about the Tulsa Massacre and learned that, oh, this wasn't something that happened during the Civil War, post-Civil War. This happened in the 20th century. And it's never been in our history books because we're so ashamed by it, you know? And I think this is the same kind of thing that should be in our history books. We should experience the shame because it makes you not want to do it again. I've had a return of What We Do in the Shadows. That's been delightful. And My Adventures with Superman. If you love anime, I tell you, it's worth watching. It's a really cool series on Max.
Yeah, we've had that on at the shop a couple times. And I like what I've seen.
Yeah, it's a really good little series. It is for the younger gen, you know, the youngers, the youngies, the kids. But at the same time, there's a lot going on in there, and it has a very anime feel. So if you like that kind of anime feel, feels good.
We're over.
The big thing we watched this week and last week was the penultimate and final episode of Strange New Worlds.
Why are we singing?
Oh my God. I had a feeling the musical episode was going to be amazing. I did not realize it could be that amazing.
I was expecting something like songs that sounded kind of like other songs, or
yeah,
you know, like just something, or a couple of little ditties or some musical limericks or something. I did not expect the breadth, the depth, the fucking genius of some of the lyrical moves. What's Nguyen Sung, her whole bit was like 6 fucking minutes of that song, and she was amazing, you know.
So according to her interview with Will Wheaton on The Ready Room, she said she had come from musical theater, decided to move into television and movies so that she could
get better parts,
get bigger parts. Yeah. Cause she was always in the chorus or always, she wanted to play the lead and she could sing a lead, you know? And she's the one who went around to everybody, you know, all the writers and the producers. She's like, we need to do a musical episode. Everybody's got an amazing voice. Everybody's so good. We need to do a musical. And, you know, Anson Mount, we know, is musical, more of an instrument, you know, more of a guitar player than a singer, but still he's really good. You had, you know, everybody, Jess Bush's number was a fucking amazing.
Yep.
Everything that, what's his name, who plays Spock, was singing was incredible.
Yep.
I mean, it was just so fucking, and of course you got Celia Rose Gooding, who herself is an Emmy award winning, Grammy award-winning Broadway actress who sing, you know, and she's, you know, playing Uhura. And that, I gotta tell you, I got a little tear in my eye when they called her the voice of the Enterprise.
Yep.
I was like, you shut up. That's beautiful.
Stop being good at your jobs, you fuckers.
God damn it.
Yeah.
The thing that made it work, you know, the reason why it works so well, honestly, is they're standing on the shoulders of, a guy who's been driven into the ground by his own behavior, and that's Joss Whedon. So it's not very, you don't have to step up very high. But his musical version of his Buffy musical episode, which was the coolest musical thing I'd ever seen until this.
Yep.
And I'm like, you guys, I can tell you looked at the Buffy musical and said, that's what we have to do. We can't do any less than that. We got to do better than that.
And then they doubled it.
Oh my God. And then we get the finale this week, a true Star Trek finale, which means, what does that mean, Pat? A true Star Trek finale means?
It's going to be a two-part?
Yep, you see the words "to be continued" at the end, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was a long episode.
Yeah.
And still, when it hit the "to be continued," it felt like 5 fucking minutes. It was so good.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? It was 20 minutes. How's that done? I can't, what the fuck? And then I looked at the watch and was like, oh, okay. Well, still, you fuckers.
Damn.
I want to thank Alex Kurtzman from the bottom of my heart from taking the Gorn from being a dumbass dude in a Sleestak suit to being the scariest fucking
real,
things they've had.
Oh, you know what?
Real yeah. horror.
Yeah. I have something to say.
Yes.
And it's important. So I need everybody to buckle down and listen.
Yes.
When Enterprise...
Mm-hmm.
When Enterprise did the Gorn...
Mm-hmm.
What, 20 years ago? 25 years ago?
Yeah.
The CGI of the Gorn in that was better than the Flash.
Yep. That is true. That is absolutely true.
Yep.
And that Gorn was okay. You know, it was like, oh, good. Thank you for updating the Gorn.
I still, why are they not wearing smocks? They put them in a fucking smock, for Christ's sake. Let me see at least one of them wearing what is the version of a Gorn Hawaiian shirt. For the love of God, do it. I will laugh, I promise.
I want to see it. That's sort of their duty uniform, basically.
Yeah.
He was in a spacesuit. Though apparently I watched on a thing that in canon the Gorn are supposed to be able to survive in the vacuum of space. I don't know if that was in Enterprise, if that was presented in Enterprise or if it's just in the books. I want to point out, if it's in the books, it doesn't count. It has to be televised before anybody accepts it as canon. So I haven't watched the Enterprise one where the Gorn showed up for a while. And it's probably in that one. It probably is where the Gorn can survive in the vacuum of space. But still, spacesuit Gorn was amazing.
Yep.
And the fact that it was a dude in a suit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some guy with a stick 3 feet above his head that you had to look at for the face. No, they put him in a fully functional animatronic suit that was amazing. And then, you know, most of the Gorn are done with puppets rather than the little Gorn, the baby Gorn, even the little newly hatched Gorn are done with puppets as opposed to just fully CGIing them because they knew it would look better.
Yeah.
They knew you could react better to something like that. And it was so fucking amazing. And holy shit, I'm nervous. I want to see it because they had three things happen that I'm like, how's that going to resolve? But we cannot forget the greatest thing ever to ever happen, for me at least, as a fan of this character. I got to see Lieutenant Montgomery Scott.
Wasn't that a delight?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was fun. And that actor, wonderful. Oh, I love him.
And he's from Paisley in Renfrewshire, mm-hmm. Scotland. So he's from Scotland. He is actually have a Scottish actor. Somebody was saying he seems to have a really thick accent, you know, and then somebody was like, well, that's because Jimmy Doohan had a thick accent and he's just playing that. I'm like, no, that's actually a Paisley accent.
Jimmy Doohan's right. Canadian.
Yeah, Jimmy Doohan's Canadian. But I've always been the fan.
Oh, yes.
I love Scotty's my boy. I love Scotty. So, yeah, to see Scotty show up and even have that moment with Pelia, I was like, thank you. You're delightful. Thank you for bringing this character in now. Honestly, I think you couldn't bring in Sulu yet. Sulu probably is just barely out of the academy like Uhura because they were about the same age, I think.
Yep.
And then Chekhov would still be in high school at this point, so in Russian high school, whatever that is. So yeah, delightful series, delightful end for a fucking amazing end for the first season, for the second season. And I'm not only nervous, I'm also nervous as to when the fuck I'm gonna get to see that because of the strike.
I think they shot it already.
I hope they shot
they
it
were,
already.
They were ahead
right.
of the game on season two. We just had to fucking wait because, you know, we had everything else that had to come out first. And on this one, Picard's done, so we don't have to wait for that. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this some point next year.
I hope so. I hope that nobody said they shot it. We knew they were shooting season two right after they shot season one.
Yeah.
Like, they were already greenlit to do season two, and they went ahead and did it. I want to thank them, and we're going to talk about this more in Patreon, but this is another good example of a show that normally played everything very safe because of, you know, fear that viewers would reject it. This show, more than any of the Star Trek's any of the new Trek, has really swung for the fences and hit a home run every time they've done it. So, yeah. T to use some Ben Sisko baseball analogy there. Yeah. Fucking amazing. Anyway, let's do some moving picture news.
IATSE, my old union, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, have announced via Twitter that the VFX crews at Marvel Studios have filed for a unionization election with the National Labor Relations Board.
Good.
According to Vulture, this marks the first time VFX professionals have banded together to demand the same rights, wage protections, and oversight almost every other segment of the entertainment industry has. Personally, I hope this just sparks off this behavior in more and more places, because I have a friend who works in VFX and has moved and moved and moved and moved and finally just left the fucking country because there's no worker protections here for VFX artists. So yeah, he moved to fucking Spain.
You either work for a shop, and that was the thing, is you would hire a shop that would come in and do it. And you'd work for a shop. And if you got lucky enough to work for the shop, whether it was ILM or whether it was any of the horror movie guys, you know, they had their own shops. Great. You had, you know, they would do their best to take care of you. But if you were coming in as just a VFX artist, like a, you know, digital VFX artist, you worked for the studio, and they were free to treat you like a contractor and like shit. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. And we saw what level of overwork the Marvel VFX artists were getting. So good for them for filing for unionization, because.
Yep.
And of course, we noticed due to the Flash that DC is apparently using child labor.
Yes.
For their VFX.
They spent it all on on Black Adam and the Shazam movie and didn't save any leftover. Didn't have
I think
any
that's probably why Black. James Gunn was advocating for it so hard, as he's like, fuck, the bank account's empty. We need to make a couple bucks on this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, my Superman's going to be dressed in underoos. For the young people, go look those up. They were awesome. James Gunn advocates fans to watch his preferred version of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 on Disney Plus. Said, click widescreen. The widescreen version is mixed aspect ratio and would be my preferred way to watch it in your home. He emphasized that specific movements in storytelling correspond with the different aspects ratios that he used, marking widescreen as his preferred way of watching the film on a television. So the differences are apparent when comparing widescreen against the IMAX enhanced view of the same frame. Because as we saw, thanks to fucking Snyder, you know, when you put it in that goofy 4:3 and leave it there, it's annoying and makes people fuck with their remote controls for a half an hour before they look it up online and find out that you're just a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Scott, Jesus Christ.
The widescreen, we watched it. We watched that one as well this last week because my wife hadn't seen it yet, and we watched it together, and it was delightful in widescreen. So
The Guardians,
yeah, the Guardians 3,
yeah, that was
delightful
fun
in widescreen. Yeah,
yeah, it was fun. Now that it's streaming, I finally got to see the first 15 minutes and was like, oh
yeah, no shit.
That actually, as much as I enjoyed the movie, having missed 15 minutes, putting that 15 minutes to it made it even better. It was great.
See, nice. See, you should permanently just have to be waiting for a pizza every time.
It's very annoying.
That movie comes on.
Ahsoka, we are told, by a guy named Garth Franklin. You know. Oh, well. Garth.
Schwing. Okay, Garth.
okay, Wayne. Does not require Rebels viewing.
Okay.
That makes me so happy. Because I have tried watching those. I've tried watching Clone Wars, and I have tried watching Rebels. I can't. I just can't. I don't know. It just it just bounces off my eyeballs. I retain nothing. Anytime you have to give me a list on an Excel spreadsheet that tells me what order to watch them in and which episodes to ignore, go fuck yourself.
Clone Wars. That's Clone Wars for sure. Because they, I think I've mentioned this. They had two different groups working on stories, and so. They would release them, but then they wound up just releasing them as they got them. So you weren't sure where you were in a story as it went through. And it's like, hang on, wait, who are these guys? Are these guys this group or are they this group? Yeah, it was so fucked up. Yeah.
Yep.
From what I understand, Rebels is more of a straightforward story. You know, you can follow it. But after going through Clone Wars, I was hesitant to get into Rebels. So now I'm glad I don't have to.
I had a very nice gentleman at the shop yesterday, as a matter of fact, spend almost half an hour walking me through the beats of Clone Wars and Rebels and Bad Batch.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so
I was going to say, those are the heroes we need when Ahsoka comes out, just like we needed them for Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if you've watched it, be a hero and help those of us who haven't watched it. You youngsters and the young at heart who have already watched these amazing animated series and been able to follow them and gotten into that whole thing and followed them in that way, got the spreadsheet built out and everything. Let us in on the secrets. You know, don't gatekeep that, because we, you know, that'll help us. It helps enhance our viewing. Though I didn't really need that much of it. I hadn't really watched much Clone Wars when I saw Mandalorian, and I was following it along just fine. I was following along with it just fine. So,
yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but Zachary Quinto and I are on the same team of something.
Oh yeah.
I'll let that hang out in the air for a moment.
I was hoping that you would, so that I could process it for a second. Thanks.
Basically, it's two things. You know, one is that Zachary Quinto is still hopeful for Star Trek IV, and I'm pretty sure we both want to rail Chris Pine. So, appearing as a guest at Star Wars Las Vegas over the weekend, Zachary Quinto offered a disappointing update on the potential fourth Star Trek movie in the Kelvin timeline. He said, I think there's a lot of other stuff, creative things. It's complicated. The fact that anything good gets made is kind of a miracle. I think it's about different people having different agendas and ideas about what it will be. And I don't know if and when it'll happen. If it coalesces again and we come back and we're able to do it, wonderful. If not, we had a great run. I hope you're back. And I don't need that fucking Chris Hemsworth storyline. I mean, I'd love it. That'd be great. I can't imagine what sort of confusion I would go through having Hemsworth and Pine in the same movie.
Yeah.
I am sure that a lot of bisexual confusion would pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably.
You know? Because I don't know. Mm-hmm. What would you do if Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth were like, hey, buddy, would you... want to pretend you're in college again? And be like, you know what, guys?
If you guys are going to be chubby chasers, I'll be the chubby. That's all.
Anytime. Anytime.
No, and then also from the Star Trek convention, they played the first 5 minutes or more of the of Star Trek Prodigy Season 2. Meaning they've already done it, and one of the two brothers who are the showrunners for Star Trek Prodigy said, "I am 100%. I can tell you 100% with 100% accuracy that I'm 99% certain Prodigy will have a new home soon. So it'll probably wind up on Netflix or one of these other streaming services. But it's moving. They're definitely keeping it moving. They're keeping it going." Which otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered showing off the trailer or showing off that opening bit. And let me tell you, that opening bit, delightful. We see the Doctor again. You know, the holographic Doctor, still played by the same actor. And
Picardo.
They go up to the Voyager A, which is a new class of starship. But yeah, they go up to the Voyager A, and they're going to go on a mission. The kids are going on a mission on the Voyager A. So once again, Star Trek Prodigy is the spiritual successor of Star Trek Voyager, just like Picard was for the Next Generation. And DS9 gets the shaft.
For now.
For now, yeah.
They got a little Lower Decks love.
They get a lot of Lower Decks love, and then they also got a really good comic book series. So
yeah. We'll get there. But that's it for the news.
All right, one more break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
Is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. and even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
So, let's do some comic book news.
Nominees for the 2023 Ignatz Awards, which is a real thing and not a made-up word, having to do with earlier jokes about being flicked in the testicles. Anyway, the online-only ballots, they'll be sent out on August 14th. Winners declared at the awards ceremony September 9th. In a press release last week, SPX said the Small Press Expo, preeminent showcase for the exhibition of independent comics, graphic novels, and alternative political cartoons, you know, Ignatz.
Ignatz, yeah.
is pleased to announce 2023 nominees for the annual presentation of the Ignatz Award, the celebration of outstanding achievements in comics and cartooning.
I can succinctly say I was not nominated.
I looked.
Yeah, I looked too.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to read through.
That's the way I would find out. I would get an article that said, yeah, you were nominated for this. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to read through the list because it is a long-ass list. But you can pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, take a look at it for yourself. And I can guarantee you over the next year, as many of these titles as I can get my hands on will be coming into the Dr. Volts and maybe other inferior shops.
Yes.
I don't know. Probably not. But they're definitely coming to mind. We got the list, and we are working through it, trying to find
whatever
we can. Because a lot of these you got to go and find. They're not part of the IOC, FOC, you know, of your diamond.
Nope. A few of them I recognize from being Kickstarter comics. But many of them have their own distribution that they do, so you just have to reach out to them and get them. Yeah.
Yep. Christopher Cantwell and Luca, I'm going to go with Pizzeri. yeah, I know it's Pizzeri, but look at it. Look at the way it's spelled. It's Pizzeri.
Pizzeri.
Pizzeri. They got a new miniseries coming out in which they are going to push Thanos against the Illuminati in a new Thanos miniseries.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
So if you're not sick of Thanos by this point.
Yo, I am.
I am because I read The Eternals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There.
So... Anyway, yeah, Lucas Pizzeri says, I could tell right from reading the first panel description that this book was going to be something else. I never even met Chris before, and yet it's like he wrote this book reading my mind. There are a lot of characters I've always wanted to try my hand off on. Thanos himself is, of course, unbelievably fun to draw. I bet he is.
No, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Just think of Grimace Swole.
Well, the fun part is when you're drawing the muscles and everything, you don't have to hold back. You can just make him as massive as you want to make him, because he's supposed to be this massive being, right?
Yep.
So yeah.
Anyway, November 8th, that'll be out. Mm-hmm. Vault is announcing He Who Fights with Monsters is getting an adaptation. Vault Comics announced last week that beginning in 2024, they will publish premium full-color graphic novels tying into the best-selling lit RPG series from Podium. Mm-hmm. He Who Fights with Monsters by Travis Deverill and Shirtaloon. Graphic novels will be available worldwide and in print in ebook formats. Podium is the fastest-growing digital publisher in North America. You got to get on the horn to them, buddy.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, He Who Fights the Monsters looks interesting as shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best long-form fantasy series he's ever read, said Vault CEO Damian Wassel. I can't get enough of it. The whole team at Vault is so excited to bring Shirtaloons. Okay. Amazing world to life in this graphic novel medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're digital only, which is not what I want. But...
I have had pen names. I have ghostwritten. I have ghostwritten with fake names because that's how that gig works.
Right.
Shirtaloon never really appealed to me.
Never really crossed my radar as a pen name.
Is he contemporaries with Chuck Tingle?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that writes the I was molested by a T-Rex kind of books. He's that guy, Chuck Tingle. Love mm-hmm. Chuck Tingle. He's fucking hilarious. And he's actually a good writer. I wish he'd write something straight. Or he probably does. It's probably like Stephen King or some shit. Writing as Chuck Tingle. It's like his warm-up exercises are writing Jurassic pornography. And he's like, okay, back to Carrie 3. Crack. Mm-hmm. Marvel teasing Spider-Man Reign 2 coming as, quote, the most notorious Spider-Man story ever told, end quote. Actually, there is no end quote because the headline writer is a dipshit, but what are you going to do? But they released a promotional image teasing a return to the world of Spider-Man Reign, which, as I recall, just fucking finished. Can't he just fight crime for a year or so before we plummet him into another? Anyway, the series is written and drawn by Kerry Andrews, and while it certainly didn't rise to the level of acclaim it was shooting for, it evoked strong reactions, with some critics calling it one of the best Spider-Man stories of all time, and others calling it one of the worst. So Marvel's like, let's do it again. I'll make more.
Well, yeah.
You're going to like it, or you're getting the Switch. But that's it for the news.
All right. Well, let's find out what everybody's been reading this week. Let's start with Pat. Anything?
I didn't read anything. Woo.
It happens.
How about you, Jeff?
Nah, too busy. I got regular job at the comic book shop and was busy open to close every fucking day I worked, working my other jobs the rest of the week. Had a mental collapse midweek that was a lot of fun. Didn't find a lot of time for comic books. So I'll do better next week. I apologize.
No apology needed.
Either that or I'll ask Braxton what he read and then pretend it was me.
That's fair, too.
We can do that?
Fuck, I'm going to do that right now. Hang on a second. come back to me.
How about you, Jess?
I didn't read much, but I did get a few things read. I got to read Black Cloak, number 6, from Kelly Thompson. This was the end of the story arc, and I'm so happy with it. It was so good. I know people read this as it came out as a Substack, I think is where it started.
Started on Substack, yes.
Yeah, and so first 6 issues are now out, and it was delightful. So I tried to read it as a Substack and just couldn't. I just didn't enjoy that format, I think, is the problem. So I like my books to be books, apparently. But
I can tell you that if you are a subscriber to Kelly Thompson's Substack, you will get the books well before they ever hit the shops. Yeah,
I know. Yep. I know. And then I got to read the first issue of Daredevil and Echo, and I was kind of blown away by this. I'm really digging it. It's it jumped back and forth to some older timelines into newer timelines. Mm-hmm. It was delightful. I'm really excited for this series. Everybody knows. I mean, I go on and on about them, but I do love short series. Just because I don't feel as lost usually because there's not as much reliance on history. So it's delightful. This is a good, if you've never read anything about Daredevil or Echo, because Echo's had at least once that I know of had a series.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good introduction to both characters. I thought I liked it.
Is she still all phoenixed up?
Not really. Not in this first issue, she wasn't. So.
Okay. I remember Matt fell pretty hard for her back in 2000 when she was part of his book. So.
Yep.
I'm sure that's. It's fun to sit and poke him, you know?
Yeah.
As it were.
So I'm looking forward to keeping up on that one. I've got issues 2 and 3 upstairs to read still, but just didn't get time to read them this week. So
awesome.
How about you, well, sir?
For me this week, we got some Night Terrors, individual books, Shazam, which was very good. Mary figuring her way out of the nightmare realm and taking on, going and helping all, because this is who Mary is now. She goes and helps all of her family first, and then wakes up and realizes that the nightmare realm is has come into the real world. And she just, the issue ends with her saying Shazam. So we know she's going to be involved. Night Terror's Batman, fucking amazing for him getting out of the nightmare. Damn. You know, even though this isn't Chip Zdarsky, Williamson really knows Batman, and he knows exactly how to hit the right points for him. So really well done. Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 9, finishing up his fight with the Hobgoblin. And also, two things happened that were, again, really, really big for me. These were things we need to see more of. First, in order to defeat the Hobgoblin, he basically gets his girlfriend, Sparrow, to swing him around, and he pops him right in the ribs, and they do an X-ray thing of showing one of the ribs crack. Which I'm like, we need to start seeing the damage a little more, that these kind of things happen. And then right after that, he basically, they go up to a roof and he just has a breakdown right there for all the things that have been hitting him. And his girlfriend is like, we're gonna get you the help you need. We're gonna get this taken care of. So it's so cool to see them dealing with this in a way that Peter Parker never got a chance to. He just moped around and talked about his crummy Spider-Man powers and crummy costume and having to take care of Aunt May, but he, when he really needed to talk to a therapist, I think. Avengers number 4. Holy shit, this new Avengers that Jed McKay's writing. At first, so when we first, this group of villains show up, their whole thing is they attack cities and they basically consume the cities. And it was really interesting because they did not pick New York. He intentionally chose for them not to pick New York. They go, there are like 5 or 6 of them. They go to Vatican City. They go to Toronto. They go to Sydney. They go to, I think, Helsinki. And I can't remember the Asian city they go to. I want to say Penang. I think it was Penang. And basically they're destroying these cities. And each Avenger takes a city, and then Sam and T'Challa go up to their ship to figure out what they can do and maybe blow it up. And we find out the ship's a living construct. But at first, reading these characters, I'm like, wow, I've seen this before with Thanos' beings, like Cole Obsidian and that were, you know, these mega beings that could, each one could challenge the Avengers individually. In this case, these guys reminded me a little bit of them, but not to that extent, but it was really cool. Everything they do is really cool. Like Thor's got to fight this being who isn't a god, wants to be worshipped as a god, but once she gets people worshipping her, she gains all this extra power. And so Thor is on the ropes fighting her, and it's pretty cool. Wanda goes to take out this guy who raises the dead, but then he not only raises the dead and ghosts, but he raised the ghost of Chthon in her head. And so she's dealing with that. And as soon as she turns her back, he's all over. I mean, the zombies are all over. And it was just like, this is, and Tony's fighting this guy who basically redesigned, he refashions cities in his own image. He's kind of a weird artiste. Of course, it involves flesh and bone being brought into the concrete and glass and steel. But yeah, Tony winds up fighting him. So it was Maker versus Maker in a way, which was kind of cool. Really good story so far. So well done, Jed. I mean, I'm interested because I know there are 2 other Avengers fighting in other places. And so I'm interested next issue to see what they're doing, plus how these 3 get out of what they just got into. So yeah, it's a pretty cool story arc. It's only issue 4. So you can probably find issues 1 through 3 and 4 in your shop. You could probably pick it up with issue 3 because that's when these things arrived. And issues 1 and 2 just kind of set up the new team and what they're going to be facing going forward. You don't really need to read one and two to get into it. So, yeah, well worth it. But that was it. That's what I read. So today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, we're talking about what we're looking forward to both next week and coming up in October, so you can order it from your local comic book shop, because they're taking orders for October right now. And if they don't order it, you ain't getting it. That's all there is to it, guys. So make sure if you're going to get it ordered, go talk to Jeff or Braxton right away. Or whoever is at your
talk
local
to
comic
Braxton.
Shop.
He's way better than I am. Braxton's great.
Braxton's awesome. But yeah, go talk to them. Get it on your hold as soon as possible for the October ones we're going to bring up. If you're excited about them as we are. So starting us out, we got Pat.
I got Pat. Okay. So my first pick is going to be indie.
Okay.
So this looks like it's Scout Comics. It's I think it's a remaster, so I think it's been written already, but it's Blade in the Dark Remastered Edition number one.
Cool.
It's a samurai series. They came masked in the dead of night and burned the village to the ash. Rook of the Hidden Song, sole survivor to his people, must seek vengeance. So, yeah, it looks freaking gorgeous. And, yeah, that's what I got for my indie pick.
That's coming in October or this week?
This is this week.
It's coming this week. Awesome.
This week, 16th. Yep. My October pick is the same as Miss Jocelyn's. I didn't have any really personal care about this character before the Black Widow movie. So,
oh, yeah.
Because Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
Pugh? Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh, yep.
Because I'm in love with her and her personality, so I'm picking a White Widow. Yeah. She is a cutie. I'm in love with her. So, yeah, I'm picking White Widow for my October one.
Yay. How about you, Jess?
Nice. Indies. My indie pick that is dropping this week, if I find it and decide it's worth $25, because it's a trade paperback, is The First Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, A Study in Scarlet. Like, let's be honest, I just love Sherlock Holmes. I always have. Mm-hmm. This is an illustrated version. It's capturing the joyful style of an animated feature as if created by renowned director Hayao Miyazaki. The artist is Vincent Malley. That's what I'm going to go with. So, and it's A Study in Scarlet, but as a comic book. So I like it. That's from Magnetic Press. Mm-hmm. And then my indie pick that will drop in October from Boom Studios. This is actually, I think, your pick as well, JC.
Yep.
Slow Burn number one. The synopsis, I don't know. I just, when I read fleeing a botched robbery in New York City, a junkie, her dying partner, and a dementia-ridden old man pull into a coal mining ghost town in central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And that one line kind of hooked me on this one, that this might lead to some interesting stories. So I'm going to look for Slow Burn number one from Boom Studios. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
I'm actually going to break in for development.
Ooh.
I heard back from Braxton.
Yeah.
It said, I finished the Warren Ellis, Brian Wood, Cullen Bunn Moon Knight collection. It was really good. Not really a cohesive story. A few of the issues read like one-shots with weird cliffhangers that are never resolved, but overall it was enjoyable. Said he's about halfway through Batman Beyond the White Knight. What else we got? Oh, man, he wrote a fucking essay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait until we get to Patreon, and then I'll just read the whole damn thing because it's pretty good.
There you go. There you
go. Nice.
Give him a thumbs up and send him a little heart. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Let's see. Indies. Money Shot. Comes Again. Number 3. I cannot stop being in love with this series. Money Shot is so fucking good. And this is the sequel to that original trilogy of books. It's Tim Seeley. And he's fucking amazing. But yeah, the XX Explorers are trapped in the body of a dead space god with demented tech billionaire. Can they escape to complete their mission, or will they be forced to accept an indecent proposal? And yes, it is about scientists going to space, having sex with aliens, selling the videos for money to do more science. It's ridiculous, and I fucking love it. If you haven't read Money Shot, drop by Dr. Volz. I've got copies. I always keep copies of the stuff I love, and that's it. Also, Dark Spaces, the Hollywood special, number 1. Intended for mature readers. Yeah, this one just looks a little weird. A little horror-y. But it's Vivian Drake is in The Sinner's Song. So it's going to be naughty. Which is apparently what I'm into these days. As far as October goes... for indies, I'm going to do The Unlikely Story of Felix and McTabber.
There you go.
All new original graphic novel packed with as much epic, with as much heart as epic combat. Join a brave young monster and their grouchy mentor in a heartfelt quest for redemption and growth in a world run by fear. Mm-hmm. The art on it looks goofy as shit, and I just am here for it. That's what I'm in for. So that is my indie picks. It's time for you to talk for a long time.
Okay. My indie picks for this week. This was a no-brainer for me. From Kelly Thompson and one of my all-time favorite artists right now, Mattia De Ilis, we get The Call, number 1. Mm-hmm. This was also one Kelly was doing over Substack. And it is gorgeous. Just Mattia De Ilis, his work is incredible. I mean, on par with, what's his name? Who did Kingdom Come and Marvels? On par with him. Just painted, beautifully painted work. Absolutely beautifully digitally painted work. And I am really looking forward to this. It's kind of a Goonies style adventure as well, so let's do it. Let's go for it. And from Scout Comics this week, we get Orson Welles' Warrior of the Worlds.
I'm there for that.
This is the truth is finally revealed. The broadcast was real. Welles lived a secret double life as a filmmaker by day, interstellar warrior by night. Buckle up. You're going to have to for a mind-blowing adventures as Orson Welles fights in the Great Galactic War, travels through dimensional portals, and faces the ultimate threat to the Milky Way. This is from Scout, our friends at Scout Comics. So check it out. And then my indie pick for October, also the same pick that Joss had, Slow Burn number 1, by Ollie Masters and Pierluigi Minotti. Ollie Masters, so two things attracted me to this. First is Ollie Masters, who's a noir writer. In and of, you know, he writes fiction, noir fiction. So he's perfect for this. But also, they're in Trier, Pennsylvania, which you may have heard of it, the coal seam fire. Mm-hmm. In Pennsylvania, in Trier, Pennsylvania, is still burning. This was a fire that started in a coal mine in the 1960s. It's still burning. This is literally a town on fire. And this is where this little tale is going to take place. I'm in for it. This sounds fucking amazing. I want to read this. Yes. Main Street picks for me this week. Marvel Comics. We're doing Alpha Flight number 1. This is coming up from the Fall of X. Got to save Canada from the mutant menace, apparently. Guardian Puck, Snowbird, Shaman return as a terrestrial Alpha Flight bursts onto the scene. But what schism? will put these heroes against their former teammates, Aurora, North Star, and Nemesis, as well as Aurora's beau, Fang. This is all basically Alpha Flight versus the X-Men, the Canadian X-Men that aren't Wolverine or Deadpool. So that's fun. And then from DC Comics, you want to check this out. It's expensive as fuck, $125. Cool. It's the absolute V for Vendetta. And this is giving you not only the original story, the 10-issue series, but it's giving you never-before-reprinted bridging pages, newly colored by David Lloyd for this edition. They ran between the issues story pages in the original book or individual comics. They've got a bunch of behind-the-scenes extras, all this stuff. $125 for this absolute V for Vendetta from DC Comics. And then finally, my mainstream pick from DC Comics this month will be for October, Wesley Dodd's The Sandman number one. So this is picking up from the Justice Society stuff that they were doing. Robert Venditti is going to write this basically a 6-issue series bringing us back to Wesley Dodd's, who we see get resurrected by Deadman in the first issue of Night Terrors. Does that mean he's back permanently? You know, is zombie Wesley Dodd still running around? That's the question we're going to have. So yeah, the Sandman is returning, the original Sandman, the Wesley Dodd Sandman, dude in a trench coat, hat, and gas mask with a gas gun, the Sandman. Sign me up. I've already got it on my list I've already got it in my hold. Basically, I've already ordered it. So you should order it too. And let's get back to the mainstream picks. Anything else, Pat?
Nope.
Okay. Joss?
Mainstream pick that is dropping this week, you guys. This is going to come as no surprise to anybody that knows me well. Daredevil 14. I know. You guys, it's the end. It's the end. It literally says the end. But of what? A life? A love? A marriage? Matt Murdock's time as Daredevil? Or the greatest and latest run in one of Marvel's most celebrated sagas. So there you go. I do have to say that the Chip Zdarsky cover is beautiful. Oh, that so beautiful.
With the hat, the
horn
head, yeah.
Gorgeous. Yep. Gorgeous. So that's dropping this week. And then my Marvel pick for October, we kind of already talked about it with Pat, but yeah, The White Widow. It's, again, a short series, one of four. So we know how much I love those. And, you know, just I like a good spy. And I like, you know, I like Yelena Belova. So I'm going to pick it up. There you go. That's me. How about you, Jeff? What's your mainstream?
Every time you mention Yelena Belova, I bring up a picture of Florence Pugh for Pat to look at.
It's so gorgeous.
Yeah. That's a wonderful picture.
Are you bringing
picture.
Up pictures from Oppenheimer, though, or from Black Widow?
Oh, no, just some thing she did to sell some sunglasses.
Pictures? Did you see her latest haircut?
Yeah.
It's part of the sunglass one, I was going to say.
I love it.
I'll send it over. It. I'll put it on. Here, hang on. I'll just throw it in Slack for everybody so you could see. And we can all just gaze together.
Okay.
Gaze delightfully at Florence Pugh.
Yep. It is, it's really easy to do that. I see your 125, sir, and I mock it.
Oh.
Ha 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 ha. $159.99.
Ooh.
The Batman One Bad Day, a complete box set. This isn't just the box. This is all the books, including the bonus books. It's got all of those, plus a special edition of Batman the Killing Joke, which is way cool. But these were all fucking great. I mean, they were all just great. There were these long one-off stories of each of the bad guys for Batman's universe. God, I hope we get more than one of these in, because we're going to be ordering a lot, I think. It was that good. And then the Immortal Hulk is finally getting an omnibus. People have been asking me if this exists for, I mean, months now. At least 3 or 4 times a week, somebody's like, is there an Immortal Hulk omnibus yet? Good news, folks. It's out next week. And it's only $150.
Oh, my good Lord.
But, oh, my God, what a run. Al Ewing and Lee Garbett fucking owned this series. And then they did all their special covers with Alex Ross, making them even more delightful. This was, hands down, tied for me with Planet Hulk as a good Hulk story. Planet Hulk was something special, and so was this. So if you can, and you haven't read it before, this is a really good way to get that series under your belt. And again, it's cheaper than buying it one by one. As far as October goes, looking forward on my August solicits, I'm going with DC Horror Presents Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead, written by the one, the only, Bruce Campbell.
Ooh.
There you go.
Yep. This is finally being collected in a 160-page hardcover. It's $25. $25. This is pretty cool. It's Berlin, 1944. The Nazis are besieged on all fronts by the Allied forces. Defeat's inevitable, but Hitler and his team of evil scientists attempt a latchkiss effort that may turn the tide of the war and rewrite history itself. A serum that allows them to resurrect dead soldiers stronger than they were in life and send them back onto the battlefield. So that's a lot of fun. And Bruce Campbell wrote it. And I don't know if I mentioned, or you may not have heard it, that it was written by Bruce Campbell. Groovy.
Oh, wait, Bruce, hey, who wrote that?
Wait, Bruce Campbell wrote that?
Come on. It's just pillow talk, baby. Good.
Love it.
Bad.
Good.
I'm the guy with the gun. Anyway, I think that's it.
And I think Florence Pugh has just sold me some sunglasses.
Or fuck that. A mint green jacket? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, hello.
You can't even see the sunglasses and I want them.
Yep.
I think my problem is I'm trying to see through the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably. That might be the problem.
Yeah.
I want them to be x-ray specs at this point.
Oh, there you go.
Meanwhile, that's it, I guess, for everyone, right?
Yep.
Anything else, kids? All right. Well, I will invite you, as always, to join us on Patreon. Join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/dvenmedia. Your support helps us keep this show on the air, as it were. Basically, you can't get it on your pod, whatever your pod wad thing is, without us having Patreon. So, join us over on Patreon. Donate a little, get a lot. Results may vary. But you can get some great information. This week, we're going to finish up Braxton's review, and then I have an editorial. Not on Braxton's review. I just have an editorial. So, join us this week on Patreon, won't you, folks? And in the meantime, I will say, as I always do, until Thor is on the ropes, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
There's coffee in that nebula.
I ain't afraid of no ropes. For Asgard.